thousand generations.
Amen. Well, tonight, we'll go ahead and take the prayer request tonight, and I'll ask Brother Gene Lehman, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. Guys, this screen's just jumping. I can't even see the words. Okay. Well, you can come up and do that while they pray. I don't see a button. All right. Brother Rob Weber and family request prayer for Jason McCarthy. He's suffering from kidney failure and needs a transplant. Brother Rob's family has asked for prayer, and so I'm asking the body, he says, and he's a fiancé of his cousin Kelly. He's just asking for healing and salvation. Also, Sister Sarah Weber had to leave the service not feeling well. Let's remember her. My dear precious brothers and sisters in Christ, please help me with your prayers. I have several physical needs in my body. Thank you. May God bless each one of you. That's from Sister Linda Jablonski. I want to praise the Lord for healing my back. By Sunday morning, I was pain-free, and I still am. Sister Connie Cook turns that in. Appreciate that. Please pray for my sister Fran. She's having heart put back in rhythm, also needs salvation. That's from Brother Carter. Just remember that. Please pray for Brother and Sister Baker. Both are not feeling well at home tonight. This is a prayer request. Please pray for my daughter and grandson in Virginia Beach for God to fill them with the Holy Ghost. Pray for my daughter in Tucson. And unspoken request, this is from Brother Fred Green. And he just also would like to ask the bride to forgive me for being out of order. I apologize to anyone I have offended. So we'll read that for Brother Fred tonight. Brother Howard Collins is having issues with his heart. Please remember him in prayer. Sister Nadine Finch had a PET scan. The results came back that she is cancer-free. She wants to thank God for His grace and the saints for their prayers. We got some more folks here in the church waiting for test results coming back tomorrow. We're going to ask the Lord for another testimony there, just believing that God's got His hand on us, taking care of us. Sister Angie Brown has a special request. Please pray for Jackie Williams. She's sick for the last 3 days. Continue to pray for Brother Frank. He's also still sick, so we'll miss them tonight. Please pray for Sister Angeline Havens' granddaughter, Melissa Odom, who's having biopsy done on her thyroid. Also pray for her salvation. Also, Sister Brenda Collins called to let everyone know that her grandson was born on Monday. His name is Keelan Bruce Tohu, and he weighed 8 pounds, 2 ounces. He and mother came home today and are doing well. She wants to thank everybody for praying. So if we'll stand tonight, Brother Gene, if you don't mind to come, and let's just take these needs to the Lord.
Let's just bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight, we want to welcome you into the service tonight, God, and Lord, to have preeminence in our lives tonight, God, that we might come and learn of you tonight, Father, that we might get closer each time that we come to your house, Father, that we'll put on word on word on word, God, until we become your very word, Father. We know, God, that all things are possible today, Lord. We know, God, that you're a healer, Lord. We had to even for service, Lord, Brother Terry and I went over and prayed for Sister King. Lord, Satan, Lord's on his job. He knows exactly how to discourage or to put us, Lord, in situations, God, that, Lord, are unfortunate. God, but we still know that you love us. And you never fail us. You never hide from us, God. You're always near, Lord. We just pray now as we approach your word tonight, God, and approach this service tonight, God, that you will come and meet the very needs of the hour today. God, I hold in my hand, God, many requests, Father. Some testimonies, God, of things that you've already done. Many, God, that you're going to do, Father, because we know that you're God and you never fail, Lord. We'll let it be done, Lord, according to your will, God, because you know what we need and when we need it and why we need it, God. So we just ask tonight, Father, that your will would be done on each one of us here, Lord, even in this service, God. You know, Satan might bring us, Lord, and try to have us, Lord, downtrodden, God. But, Lord, your word can pick us up tonight, Father. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless Brother King tonight, Lord, as he comes, Lord, and minister the word. May our hearts be open, God. May we receive, God, that it would help us, God, even tomorrow, next week, Lord, for times to come, God, the word, Lord, will be real, right, just so prevalent in our lives today, God, that we can look to you, God, and say, Lord, back in the Old Testament, Father, you know, when a person could just look, go out and he was needed, God, he just looked towards the temple. And God, all he had to do was just believe, Father, and he knew that you would hear his prayer tonight, God. So we're here. We know who the temple is tonight, Father. We know you're God tonight, Lord, and we know that you're here tonight, Father. So we just pray, have your way in this service, God. We'll honor you and praise you for it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Gene. You can be seated tonight. Let's try that. He's more wonderful. Yeah. Let's try again that new song we learned a couple weeks ago, that he's more wonderful. And he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. Let's sing it now. Than my mind can conceive, he's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he promised, so much more. It's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. We're starting to get it now. Help me sing. He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond.
Jesus.
Upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. And I will sing. I will sing, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart. I will pray like Daniel prayed.
like to come tonight, lift the offering. Let's sing that I Know a Man Who Can Walk on Water anytime, any place, anywhere. Cannot think of the name of that song right now. I Know a Man Who Can Walk on... What's the name of that song? Anytime, any place, anywhere. That's E. Yeah. Anytime, any place. The spirit of Louis hangs out up here, I think.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, place, anywhere. The storm who makes you there.
Singing songs I've experienced firsthand. Don't you? Let's stand tonight. Brother King's going to come and preach for us tonight. Let's sing Jesus Draw Me Close. Let's sing Jesus Draw Me Close as Brother Bob comes and preach to us.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord. And let the world around me fade away. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you.
Lord bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Good to be a Christian, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes, sir. I want us to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this part of the service. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, dear God, for the many blessings. And we want to tell you tonight that we love you. And we want to tell you that we need you. We're asking you to come now and help us in this part of the service, that you would anoint the lips to speak and ears to hear, our hearts to receive your precious word. Be with us tonight. Be with our pastor wherever he is, Lord, and make a just a very special trip for him wherever he's at. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn to Genesis number 3, beginning with verse 22. When Brother Donnie asked me to speak, I thought, I've been studying on some things. You know how you do in your everyday study. And I thought, well, I'd like to preach on the changing of the guard. And I thought, I'd like to preach on the supernatural breaking of the bread of life. You know why Cleophas' eyes were opened and his friend? Because the breaking of the bread was supernatural. A natural breaking of the bread will not open anybody's eyes. But if the man that stands behind the pulpit has the mind of Christ for that service, eyes will be opened. But you know what? You cannot preach on something just because you got notes and scriptures wrote out. It has to be inspired. And the inspiration was on Holy Ghost and fire. So if Brother Jack and Sister Ruth Ann's here tonight, you'll have to listen to this all over again. But I know you've got patience. Amen. Now then, we'll begin with this. We're not going to preach on the Holy Ghost baptism on my spirit realm like I had out in Laodicea Pentecost. I'm talking about Holy Ghost and fire from Genesis all the way to Revelation, see? And it's represented throughout the entire Bible, see? Now, to begin with, verse 22 of Genesis 3, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is becoming as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, plural, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Brother Branham said on Revelation chapter 4, he said he drove out the man, placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way. See, four beasts. There's only four ways you can go, east, north, west, and south. And these cherubims had a flaming sword at the gate of the garden to keep the way of the tree of life. Because if a man ever got a hold of the tree of life, seeing that in a sinful state, he could live forever in a sinful state, see. And he said, I believe on Revelation chapter 4, the cruelty of sin in Jeffersonville. The great cherubim was at the east side of the gate, and that sword whirling back and forth, guarding that gate that entered into Eden. Notice fire, the Holy Spirit fire guarding that gate. And today, that's what guards the gate today. And he said, if you're scared of the Holy Ghost and fire, you will never get in. Fire is the sword of God. God is a consuming fire, watching that tree, guarding the tree of life. When he said, if you're afraid of the Holy Ghost and fire, you'll never get in. And we would have a question, get in what? See? And that would be get into the kingdom. Because the kingdom was opened up on the day of Pentecost. And Peter had the keys to the kingdom. And the way into the kingdom was opened up. When he said, repent, well, they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is the only way into the kingdom of heaven. Right there. Now, let me read one more scripture before you sit down about this. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But here's what he really wanted to know. Whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed into heaven. God bless you. You may be seated. And that's where I said the way into the kingdom of heaven was opened up on that day. And in Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Brandon had this to say. He said, now, every person from that time to this time had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and those that had been baptized by John had to come back and be baptized over again in order to receive the Holy Ghost. He said, because the kingdom of heaven was sealed to any other way. Any other way you try to come up is a thief and a robber. The kingdom of heaven is sealed to any other way. When Peter turned that key on earth, God turned it in heaven. And whatever you said on earth, that's settled forever in heaven. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. In the old country, Brother Brenton said, the kings had a seal with their ring. Instead of signing their name, they would seal it with their seal. And he said, it's a penitentiary offense to copy that seal. And it would be the same thing today. If you were to copy the seal of a notary public, it'd be a penitentiary offense, see? But he said, now, God also has got a seal, and it's a penalty of death to copy that seal. And they have copied the seal. The religious systems of the world has copied that seal from day one. And the Catholics say, open your mouth, take a little round wafer, and you're saved. And others say, come over here and join our church, you're saved. Put your letter in here and you're saved. You believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're saved. Shake the preacher's hand, you're saved. And in the message, the same thing. They've copied that seal in the message. You believe that God sent a prophet, you're saved. You love Brother Branham, you're saved. You believe this message, you're saved. You believe God sent a prophet. Listen, the devil knows God sent a prophet. His tail feathers was burned many a time by this prophet of God. And he says, if you love Brother Branham, you're saved. Well, listen, Brother Branham said you can love God and be lost. And then you come along and copy that seal and say, you love Brother Branham, you're saved. You put Brother Branham above Jesus Christ. What are you doing there? No way. It's a penalty of death. Brother Branham said the bruised serpent, I believe it was. Anyway, he tells about the meeting in Chicago. 3 days before the meeting in Chicago, 300 ministers invited him to have a breakfast there and speak. And the Lord spoke to him at night, said, come over and stand by the window. And he went over and stood by the window. God said, I want to talk to you. And he said, they've got a trap for you set down there. And you reveal to Brother Brown they're going to challenge you on the serpent seed, on the message of grace, on the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, and baptism in water. They're going to trap you. But he said, don't you be afraid to go, because I'm going to go with you. And Brother Branham told Billy Paul about it. And Billy said, Daddy, you're not going over there in that fuss, are you? He said, I'm not going over there to fuss. I'm going over there anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire, with the Word of God that will guard that mercy seat as long as he's there. So he went over there. And Brother Carlson and Brother Tommy Hicks, you know, they didn't think Brother Brown knew all about this. They knew a trap was set. But he took them out to breakfast. And Brother Brown said, now, Tommy, I've been a good friend to you. I've done things for you. Now, I want you to do me a favor. And he said, sure, Brother Brown, what is? Said, I want you to preach in my place. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Brother Carlson said, no, he can't do that, Brother Brown. Brother Brown said, no, you know why? He said, you know, they got a trap set for me. But he said, you won't tell me. But he told him, said, now you think you've got this building over here rented and it's a certain color, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get it. And Brother Carl said, I've already got a deposit on it. He said, I don't care what you've got, you're not going to get it. And he told him where they was going to go, and he told where Dr. Mead would be sitting, where the colored person would be sitting, and all about the meeting in there. And Brother Carlson said, all right, now I'm going to turn the service to Brother Branham. You might disagree with him, but he's not afraid to stand for what he believes. And Brother Branham said, all right. And he got up there and said, now I know why you're here. And he said, now you're going to challenge me on these things. He said, now you have introduced yourself to me as Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. He said, I am a seventh grade educated. I'm a Chicheco, a greenhorn. He said, now I want one of you Dr. So-and-sos. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to stand by my side and prove that I'm wrong. And not one of the 300 Dr. So-and-sos would even dare to stand by him. And you know what? He said, now, 72 of those people, he said, they have promised they're coming to the Jeffersonville and they're going to be baptized. And he said, not one of them came. And he said, they have everyone crossed the line between mercy and judgment. Brother, that was a vindicated prophet stood there guarding that mercy seat with the Word of God. And I want to tell you, it's dangerous to go against the reveal Word of God. I don't care if you're a preacher or what you are. That prophet stood there guarding that mercy seat. You know what? Every town that we go to has got gated communities. Even in this town around, you've got gated communities. You drive up there to a certain place and there's a guard posted there. What is that guard for? To keep the wrong people out and let the right people in. And that's what happened. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know what? They go back and the Trinitarians, they all say, Matthew said it. Matthew said it. Matthew said it. Brother Brown said, Matthew guarded it. Oh, yeah. It kept the wrong people out. It let the right people in. I tell you what, it didn't keep you out. What happened? Why are you on the inside? Because you was the right people. The wrong people was kept out. Amen. That's right. Yes. He said, let me take the sword of the word and cut through every organization to bring the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection and the Holy Ghost back to the people. Because he's coming in the power. He'll stand alone. This will cut through every organization, every theory, every man-made creed, till you bring back the savor of sheep that's gone astray. Bring back Bible doctrines again of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the sin question is settled. The mercy seat. Now, Brother Brown said that that angel, that cherubim, with that flaming sword, that fiery Holy Ghost and fire, the flame of fire. He said, that angel sheathed that sword after it was bloody with the blood of the Lamb. Then the sin question is settled, and no longer do you have a cherubim with a flaming sword guarding the mercy seat. But you know what you've got now? You've got angels standing at the pulpit guarding that mercy seat, anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire, with the power and the Word of God that will guard that mercy seat. That's right. All around, Christ is walking in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Christ is in His church. Christ is speaking in His church. He is speaking through lips of clay. He speaks through dust. He speaks through Tennessee dust, through Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Carolina dust, and all around this world. God has got men of God standing behind sacred desks now, and they are guarding the mercy seat, keeping that sacrifice clean, keeping the Word of God pure, keeping the filth away from it and the unbelief away from it. That's right. Yes. Now when God began to deal with Moses, He got his attention by a pillar of fire that fell into a bush and began to burn and pop. It looks like if it was fire, it would have burnt the bush. Scorched the bush or burned it. But it was a supernatural fire that could burn the bush, but it wouldn't hurt the bush. I'm thankful tonight for a supernatural Holy Spirit, God's flame of fire can come down into a human heart and burn out all the sin and the unbelief, and it don't harm the person. It purges him, makes him stronger, grow in faith and stronger. And He comes tonight in that way. He said He can come down into a human body and drive out the power of cancer, tumor, cataract, tuberculosis with fire. Heavenly Holy Spirit fire falling from God out of heaven. If He can come in and burn out inbred sin out of a man, which is the greatest miracle that ever happened, how much greater can He burn out a cancer? You know what? Brother Siler, when I read things like that, I say, oh God, would you please make that a reality to every one of your children? Yes, that's right. And Moses found out one thing. That was not a natural fire. That was a supernatural fire. And that supernatural power of God, oh, I tell you what, it's got transforming power. I'll tell you what, it come my way one day. It come my way one day when I was out there in the organizational stuff, all that religious system out there. And that transforming power, it brought me out of all that. I forget, Brother Branham called it kind of a bad word. But anyway, it burned all that out of me, all that garbage. That's right. Now then. He said it brought us out of the deformity of religious ignorance that we were in. Oh, aren't you glad? I tell you what, we was out there, we thought we were so smart. I was preaching for a woman preacher in the four gospel church, in the, what's that, four square church. Really spiritual, wasn't it? No, when I met that prophet, my world turned upside down. I found out I didn't know nothing. And I'm glad that I found it out. I'm glad that I did. Yes, sir. Yeah. He justifies a man, sanctified him, sent the Holy Ghost in fire and burnt the sin out of him, and then dwelled in him himself. Then you become a new person, not just an old patched up joining church, but a complete brand new runic. God takes the old man, burns him complete out with the Holy Ghost and fire, and comes in himself. and sends down your representation, see. Oh, my. In the token, he said, now we have the right to all that he purchased for us. Every promise in the Bible is yours. It belongs to you when this token is upon you and God has sealed you. Oh, yes, and God has given you the true baptism, Holy Ghost. Then the life of Jesus Christ is within you. That's right. He sealed you into the kingdom by the Holy Ghost. And everything that Jesus purchased and promised you in the Bible is yours. It is your property because it's paid for. Life is paid for. It's mine. He paid for it. Life is yours. It's paid for. Healing is mine. It's paid for. Healing is yours. It's paid for. Freedom is mine. He paid for it. Heaven is mine. He paid for it. Everything that he purchased belongs to the man that holds the token. Thank God. Thank God for the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the literal life of Christ in there. And some people have accused me of going and missing the rapture. I want to ask you something. The rapture's on the inside of me. How can I miss the rapture when the rapture's paid for? It's mine, and I already have the down payment right on the inside. That's right. Yes, sirree. Oh, my, on that Easter morning, Easter seal on that Easter morning, listen, no seal could hold him. He come forth, he broke the seal of the tomb, broke the seal of death, broke the seal of hell, the seal of the grave. And he said, what did it? What broke that seal? What broke the seal of death, hell, the tomb, and the grave? He said, that great seal that was on the inside of him. No seal could hold him. And I got news for you, little bride. God has sealed your soul until the day of your redemption. And I'm going to tell you what he sealed your soul with. He sealed it with a great seal that was on the inside of him. And there is no power in heaven, on this earth, or under the earth that can break the seal of God. I tell you what, the demonic power, religious power, political power cannot break the seal of God. Oh, yes, sir. And then we spend half our life worrying, sick, worrying about this and worrying about that, and everything's already paid for. It all belongs to us. We ought to be the happiest person in the world to be where we are at today. That's right. He said they could destroy the body, but they could never destroy that seal. They destroyed one prophet, raised up another, and destroyed another, and destroyed prophet after prophet after prophet. But then he gave them something they could not destroy, and that is a great seal, the Holy Ghost. It is imperishable and infallible, cannot be destroyed. That's right. No way to ever be destroyed, cannot perish, has eternal life. He said in perfecting his church in New York, 1954, he said, the American people are absolutely hypnotized with different theologies. He said they run this way and that way, east, west, north, and south, trying to find the Word of God, the true Word, and they can't find it. And they said that Dr. So-and-so believes it this way, and Dr. So-and-so believes it that way, Dr. So-and-so believes it this way, and it's just... It's just they're hypnotized with it, see? And he said they kick out the blood, and they kick out the atonement, and they kick out the power, and they kick out the Holy Ghost and fire. He said when you kick out the blood out of the Bible, he said you don't have any Bible left. And he said when you take the Holy Ghost and fire out, he said you've got nothing to preach with, and you've got nothing to preach on. And I tell you what, if you don't have nothing to preach on and nothing to preach with, you ought to just shut up and sit down. Amen. And let's leave the genuine blood of Jesus Christ in this Bible. Keep that Holy Ghost in fire there and never let anybody ever take that away from you. That's right. In Pentecost, They have made a dirty word, not Pentecost, in the message. Some people have made a dirty word out of Pentecost. I want to tell you one thing. One of these days when the bride of Jesus Christ is in the arms of Jesus and the bride is singing, "Let the death angel pass, God's bride is safe at last." And down on this earth, all hell is broke loose and there's tidal waves of horrible death and the howling winds of atomic breath blasting around this world. You'll think, "Dirty word." That's right. You'll wish you could go back to an old-fashioned altar and get a little dose of that Holy Ghost and fire there. That's right. Amen. Yes. He said, "I may be a little beat off the beaten line. Somebody might know the Bible better than I do. But I believe there'll be a time." Well, he said, what a consolation it should give the nation of Israel, the church then, the man that was sent to them to represent God, which was Elijah, went home without dying. Should have made him feel good, shouldn't it? That's right. And he said, "I believe that there will be a message in the last days, something like Elijah, and that Elijah church, that's us." We're that Elijah church. Yes, sir. We'll not die, but be translated, taken up, fire. We'll take it into glory. The Pentecostal fire will rapture it up. Oh, my. I talk to people in this message. A few of them that don't like to talk about the original Pentecost. They want to say, "Well, we're not going back to Pentecost. We're going to Eden. We're going to the rapture." Well, that's true. We are. But I want to ask you something. If you're going, all you want to do is talk about going to Eden and talk about going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to ask you, how do you plan to get there? Are you going to go Delta, American Airlines, TWA? You think FedEx will take you there? If you go in the rapture, you'll go with a dynamic refilling of the Holy Ghost and the fire and the power of God. No other way. Absolutely not. No way. That's right. He said, "Oh, the dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit, which we've worked in a small measure while the headstone's coming down to unite the body. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up. Even the dead that's been dead in Christ for hundreds of years will raise in the beauty of holiness, take a flight through the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Ghost." Amen. I'm looking for a time to break forth of the Spirit of God in these last days. Another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church for a rapturing faith. And everything is setting straight in order for that right now. Yes, sir. He said, on Shalom. He said, it's a dawning of a new day. I feel it all over me. The light of a new day. Go back and read Shalom again. "Arise, little bride, and shine. Thy light has come, and the glory of your Lord has risen upon you." Yes, sir, it's a dawning of a new day. There'll be no night, no darkness, no shadows, no funeral procession, no doctors, no morgues. I can feel the rays of his light breaking upon my soul. The old one's pressing away. I feel the mortal blood in my body. I feel the surge of the Holy Ghost coming in behind it. Oh, my. That's right. Yes. His love affair to this bride pouring out into her himself. And they are becoming one for the wedding supper. And the same signs promised by the same God in the same word is making the same manifestation. There's nothing left for us to do but believe it. And believe it is the substance that creates the perfect faith. Did you know that when we pick up our Bibles, we are honoring God by reading that Bible? And when we have closed that Bible, we have honored Him by reading His Word. Now He wants us to honor Him by believing what we have read. If He said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory, and then we spend half our life worrying about where it's coming from, our next meal's coming from, He has already paid for it to begin with. Did you know? I tell you it's kind of mysterious, but He said that that was fulfilled when He made the promise. All of your needs was fulfilled when He made the promise. It's not a manifestation in your life until you see it, but it was already settled before the world began. You know, God is in little bitty things. God is in great big things. If you're a businessman and need $50,000 to buy some property, He's got it. If you're a housewife that needs some milk and potatoes and flour and some bread, He's got it. I've never been in big things. I've been in little things all my life. But I've seen Him come on the scene many, many times. We're going to Texas from California one time to be with my mother and dad. We had a lot of trouble and got to Hobbs, New Mexico. And my wife's sister's there, and we spent the night with them, and next morning got up and eating breakfast, and I had $3 in my pocket, and 220 miles from home. I didn't say nothing to nobody. The phone rang. My brother-in-law picked up the phone, and a man on the other end said, Jake, I need a painter. Do you know where I could get one? He said, yep. He said, where at? I said, he's drinking coffee with me right now. He said, when can he start? I said, tell him right now. And I had a good job there for several days. Made some good money. Now, did God have to run around on the spur of the moment? Oh, what am I going to do to help Brother King? He ain't got but $3. That was settled when He made the promise back then. When He said that Christ would ride into Jerusalem on a little donkey, that was prepared before the world began. He had a little virgin prepared to bring forth His Son into the world. There was an upper room there where they'd eat the supper. They didn't run around on the spur of the moment hunting how we're going to do it. That's all settled to begin with. When God made the promise, it was settled when He made the promise. Whenever Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Brother, there was a lot of battles. There was a lot of plagues. Had to destroy the gods of Egypt. But it was settled when the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. It was all settled. Just had to work out the details. But it was all settled, see. Oh, my. God knows all about you. God knows what you need. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you're on the mountaintop, He's with you. When you're in the valley, He's with you. When you're in the hospital, He's with you. Oh, yes. When your friends have all turned against you, He's with you. He don't never leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. He might kind of hide Himself for a little while so that you can walk by faith, but He's right there. Never left you. Not one time has He ever left you. That's right. One of these mornings, God's achievement of His astronauts that's climbed into Jesus Christ, been born in there by the Holy Ghost, filled with the power. One of these mornings, the whole universe will be screaming, wailing, gnashing of teeth when they see they've missed it. When the great eagle powered by the Holy Ghost and fire begins to spread her wings, the astronauts will take off into the sky to go to meet the bridegroom. The bride takes off in the astronaut power of God who sent Jesus Christ to earth in the form of the Holy Ghost has brought the church through these achievements, through the horse and buggy, through the automobile, through the airplane. That's right, see? Brought them through them. Now she's getting resurrected power to fly beyond the things of the world. That's right, see? The countdown's over. Every church age is past. We're ending up on a Laodicea. And let me tell you, only the astronauts is going up. The bride of this age is going up. If you're living in the glare of Luther's day, in the horse and buggy, if you're living in the glare of the automobile, if you're living in the glare of the other day, you're not going up. But if you're a genuine astronaut living in the hour of this day, you're going right on up with him. Did you know that the fallen sons, feasting from the tree of knowledge, they've had a marvelous time of getting into God's laboratory and building a lot of things. See, and they built cars and trucks and trains and airplanes, and they found and rockets and spaceships, and they found a way to break through the sound barrier, go out into orbit the earth. You know, I don't care how many times they go up there, someday they're coming right back down here and live and die, and after that the judgment. But the sons and daughters of God, feasting from the tree of life, have found a way to break through the barrier, not the sound barrier, but the barrier of this dimension, into a faster one, to rule, to live and reign with Jesus Christ eternally, and never come back to this cursed world until it's made ready for a millennium people. That's right. Yes, sir. Oh, my. Jehovah Eagle's coming. I like this. He said, we're getting ready to take a flight to never return till after the tribulation period's over and we've turned back for the millennium. It's a long flight all the way into glory. Jehovah Eagle's coming. Listen, we feel the power. We see the shadow. We hear his language as it spoke among the people. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. What are we hearing when we're sitting under the anointed word of God for this hour? What are we hearing when we're hearing this message preached under the anointing? I'll tell you what we're hearing. We're hearing his voice, his language as it spoke among the people. We're feeling his power. We're seeing the shadow of his coming. And we know that my sheep know my voice. We recognize that voice. Did you know what? I'm going to break in right here and read something before I forget it. Brother Brown was in a meeting one time, and he said this. He said, now, I see a lady who's got a little sick baby out there this morning. I seen her getting out of the car when I crossed the street. She probably heard the radio broadcast or something. She knew was going to pray for the sick. Something down in her heart says, take that baby to church. She obeyed that. That's right. See? For there's something in there that says it's right. See? Every thought, everything that you have comes from somewhere. It's got to have a beginning. Is that right? Oh my, I love this. It's got to have a beginning. So where did the origination start from? It started in glory, whirled around through the angelic realm. The messengers of God have swept down. See, they caught it. Whirled around through the angelic realms and said, this is it. And you looked at the word. Where did it come from? Up there and there. And something down in here also was in here that said, that's right. My sheep know my voice. What was it? Here was a messenger of God that was holding a meeting. He had been up into the supernatural realm getting the word for this day. Yes, sirree, and bringing a divine healing and bringing a message to get a bride ready. And here's a little elect seed out there with a little sick child. And something down on the inside said, take that baby to church, see. And when she heard the word preached, you know what she said? That's right. Just like Hattie Wright. That ain't nothing but the truth. Brother, if God put something down in your heart that can say that's right to the word of God, you ought to be so happy. You just have you a good old jubilee. Amen. He said this. Great and mighty conquering Jeff. He said, oh, you talk about that conqueror. You talk about jerking off aprons. He said, you talk about jerking off aprons and waving. People say we're crazy because we shout and we run and we scream and we holler. He said they have never felt the victorious vibrations of heaven in their soul. That's right. The battle is over. Our great mighty conqueror has won. He said, you talk about waving aprons. You talk about having a real old jubilee. He said, you know why people criticize us? Why they laugh and mock and make fun? They have never felt the victorious vibrations of heaven down in their soul. That little old baseball player that chewed out Brother Branham and said, I don't like the way your church over there, oh, they just, that woman get let and screaming and hollering, just run chills down my back. He told Brother Branham, said, our church don't do that. Brother Branham said, I hope you don't think yours is a pattern. The pattern is Pentecost. Go back to the gate of Pentecost. There's the pattern. That's right. Yes. I was preaching one time. I don't preach very often, but when I do, I get in trouble sometimes. Anyway, not now, but years ago, we used to preach out there, and after the message, we come into the message, and I thought everybody wanted to know about it. I went to the Four Square Church, I went to the UPC, and I went to some independent churches, and they'd ask me to preach, and every time they'd find out what I believe, they'd kick you out. Didn't want nothing to do with you. And one of the UPCs invited me over, said, I want you to preach from Wednesday night till Sunday night. And I went over there, and I was so thrilled telling about Brother Branham and all them types and shadows. I thought they'd want to know it, you know. And Sunday night after the last service, the pastor stood up and said, now, Brother King, Sister King, said, I don't doubt what God sent you over here. He didn't send you over here to teach us. He sent you over here for us to teach you. I thought he invited me. Oh, my. But anyway, I was preaching about this one time, this victorious vibrations of heaven, and there's a man sitting on the front seat, a big old frown on his face. He was dissecting every word I said. And I said, boy, this guy's got his mechanics down right. But I said, if you ever get the victorious vibrations of heaven in your soul, you'll wipe that silly frown off and get a great big old smile. Yes, sirree. Oh, yes. Isn't God good? Oh. Civilization come by fire. Tribes that use fire. Fire makes my clothes. Fire makes light. Heats my dinner. Everything come by fire. Live in modern civilization, you live by fire. If you live in the divine presence of God, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip a lot of this because I know you're getting tired. Listen, you've got to be in that church, brother, if you make it. For he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. How can we be that? By being dead in Christ, baptized by the Holy Ghost into the mystical body, and the blood atonement of the Son of God laying for us every hour of the day. Found blameless, that's his church, without spot or without wrinkle. And that's the way with a real Christian, on the wings of a dove, Shreveport. Did you know a real Christian doesn't have even any sin at all imputed to him? David said, blessed is a man who will not, God will not impute sin to. When you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, not by make-believe, but really the blood of the Lamb, God does not impute to you anything that's done. Cause you're under the blood and he doesn't see it. There's a blood sacrifice. The only thing he can see you in is the way he saw you before the foundation of the world. When he put your name in the Lamb's book of life. And I said this before and I'll say it again. In this journey of life, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good days and bad days. You're going to have mountaintops and you're going to have valleys. You're going to have your juniper tree experiences and your Mount Carmel experiences. And none of those things changes the thoughts that God had of you before the world began. Nothing changes that. That's right. Well, you say, well, boy, that gives me plenty of room, Brother Branham. I can do what I want to. He said, I always do. And when a man really sees what Jesus done for him and turn around and do something contrary, it shows that he's never received Christ. A little woman, Brother Branham was a little young boy preaching, and he began to preach eternal security in them little old holiness mothers. You know, the Nazarenes, Pilgrim Holiness and all them. You know, the ones there, and this little sister said, well, Brother Billy, I can do anything I want to then, can't I? He said, you can do anything you want to, but if you've got evil in your heart, you have never been to Calvary. And I want you to know that the worshiper, once purged, has no desire to ever sin again. That's right. He said, there's a bloody sacrifice. A man that's born of God does not commit sin. He can't sin, for if you're born again, the very Holy Spirit that lived in that body lives in you, and it can't sin. Amen. These sacrifices laying before him, then if you willfully do it, then it shows that it's impossible for you to be in that body. That's right. Brother Brown said, God does not hold you responsible for your mistakes. He holds you responsible for your willful sin. And he said here, now you have, there's something here I wanted to get. Well, what is it? I don't know what I did with it. But he said, There's no evil habit in you. Yeah. Now see, if you're born again, cleansed by the blood, worshiper once purged, there's no evil habit in you. That's all been took care of. Yeah. You might make mistakes, sure. Sure. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I don't care who you are, what kind of gift you got in your life. On this journey of life, somewhere you're going to need an advocate with the Father. Amen. Brother Branham needed an advocate with the Father. Amen. That's right, see?
Yes, sir.
You don't know who's sitting right next to you today and in church. And that fellow's made a mistake. That's one of God's sons or daughters. Don't turn him down. That's right. Put an arm around him. You don't know what God could do with him if you'd help him a little bit. That's right. Did you know we teach forgiveness. We preach forgiveness. We talk forgiveness. If we don't practice forgiveness, all our beautiful words is just a tinkling of a cymbal and the sounding of brass in the eyes and ears of God. If I don't forgive my brother, neither will my God forgive me. That's right. I wish I could have found that statement. Okay, just about this advocate, one or two more little things. I pray for them, Lord, that they will not any time fail. If they do fail, may quickly they have the advocate with the Father, which I have learned to be such a great thing, Father, that when I make all my mistakes, then I have and find I have an advocate right quick with the Father through Jesus Christ, and I'm brought right back into grace again. The loving hand of the Lord wipes away. There's a bloody sacrifice laying there that I confess to be my Savior. If it wasn't for that advocate, we would all be gone. That's right, wouldn't we? But in there, we're brought under the rich, royal, red blood of Jesus Christ. Before God, we are pure and holy. And he takes it back to the scripture where 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's right. And the worshiper, once purged, has no more desire to sin. He doesn't even want to sin. He will do things wrong. As soon as he does it, he confesses sin. Right then, see, God forgive me, I didn't mean to do that. You know it, Father? God never sees it. Oh, my. Oh, I'll tell you what. A lot of people think, well, my. If you preach that to people, they'll think, oh, my, you know, I can just, oh, that's too loose. I could just do anything I want to. Yeah, I could do this and that and that. And that would be wrong. People would say, no. That's part of the message. That's part of the message for our day. And let me tell you something. If I look in there and I see that Jesus Christ, and I see that he's an advocate for me, and that he takes care of my mistakes and all that, you think that I would want to go out and do something bad that makes me love him more than ever? If God would think enough of me to pick me up and try me again and wipe away all my mistakes and take me back again, you think that that would make me want to go out? That would make me want to love him more than ever. Oh, God, that you think that of much of me. I'll do my very best not to never let that happen again. Amen. Oh, my. Yes. Does anybody know how long I've been? Can I have 15 minutes? Would 20 be too much? You know what? I was reading the quote the other night. I knew that Paul preached all night one night. I didn't know Brother Brown preached all night one night. Pull it up on your computer. He said, the first time I went out, said I preached all night. He said, oh, it was wonderful. Now, don't think I'm going to preach all night. But he said, he made this statement. It's just so wonderful. He said, it was just the first time he went out, just a little meeting. He said, I don't know whether I had enough intelligence. And what he was going to say, I think, is, I don't know whether I had enough intelligence to quit or not. But he stopped right there. And when he said, I don't know if I had enough intelligence, or maybe I had enough intelligence just to keep the blessing coming on me. But he said I was there all night and it was wonderful. Well, that wouldn't happen this day and time, but it did with him. Now, listen. Faith comes by hearing. Sirs, we would see Jesus in Phoenix. Now, I'm just going to read some quotes out of this folder here, so I won't be here all night. But listen, he said, hearing the word of God, faith come by hearing the word of God, as we see the day approaching as it is now, I'm very happy to know we still have the Bible. Amen. He said, God's eternal blessed word. And nothing will ever take its place. No denomination, no church, no person, no individual will ever take the place of the written word. That's right. A man told me one time, said, Brother King, he said, I don't never read the Bible no more. Since I got the message, I just read the message. When you do that, you're letting William Branham and the message replace the Bible. This message never came to replace the Bible. It came to make the Bible real to us. That's right, see? Amen. When divine love is in your heart, there's a difference in your life, and everybody knows it. You live like a Christian, walk like a Christian, act like a Christian, and your whole system is timed to God's Bible. That's right, see? Brother Branham said that on the Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, and you'll remember this, he said he is the principal theme of the entire Bible. If you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse in it, go back and read it again, you've missed something. And when I was young in the message, Brother Sider, I read that and I said, you see Christ in every verse in the Bible? I started thumbing through that Bible. I said, boy, I'm missing something. I do not see Christ in every verse. I know it's right. I know he's right, but I don't see it. But then one day, see, I got a little farther along, and I realized that Jesus Christ is the printed form of the Son of God is Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And that this entire Bible is a complete revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that back in the beginning, when the Word was with God, the Word was God. And when that Logos went out from God, which was God in another form, and that was the birth of the Word and the birth of the Son, and that Melchizedek became Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh, and then I say, hey, I'm beginning now to see, I can see Christ in every verse in the Bible. Yes, sir. Isn't that wonderful when your eyes kind of get open to those kind of things? Now, Brother Brown, prophets are strange things. You know what? I want to talk about a prophet for just a minute. Now, Brother Brown had a interview examination with Mayo's, Mayo Clinic, and they examined him. And my, that doctor was he was so enthused. He said, Brother Branham, he said, now look, he said, your first conscience is see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And then said, when you're absent from that there, then you go into your subconscious and you can dream a dream. And then come back to your real conscience and tell what you've done. And he said, it's strange. We've never seen it in anybody before, but your two conscience are laying side by side. Those two brain waves, those waves are side. He said, say, Brother Brown, he said, did you know that you could dream a dream standing up wide awake? And Brother Brown, I know Brother Brown was getting amused. You know, he said, doctor, did you ever read the Bible? Are you a Christian? He said, well, I'm Presbyterian. Said, that pastor goes down there every Thursday night and all he can say is Presbyterian, 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 Presbyterian. Said, I don't even go. He said, well, did you ever read the Bible about prophets that went off into vision, things like that? He said, is that what you're talking about? He said, I know there's something different about this man. We've never examined a man like this before, where that subconscious and first conscience is laying, the brain waves are laying side by side. And he started to tell him, you know, you ought to let us examine. Brother Brown said, oh, I've done been interviews by males. Oh, yes, yeah, see. That's right. That's right. Now listen, now, he explains, Brother Brown does, a gift of knowledge in the Bible is prophecy, goes up and find out things that are to come and brings them back down. But they must compare with the Bible. If they're out of the book, they're not received because the judge judges the book. Then the word that God has spoke before the foundation of the world, it isn't that God speaks and says something to the prophet. It's that the prophet catches what God has already said. You mean to tell me that this word, all of this word was written, was spoken before the world began? Absolutely. And he said, now, it's God spoke the world, and the word, and it's laying stretched out in time. And that is allotted for every age. And when it come time, Enoch went up and got the word for his day. Noah went up and caught his. Moses went up and caught his. William Branham went up and caught his. See, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now, he starts telling about this. He said, now, I want to tell you about a vision. He said, it happened years ago. I was in my room, said, not a dream, friend. It was a vision. And he said it was a rocky, hilly country. Now, Brother Brown didn't finish on this quote here, but on another one, he finished all about it. And he was in Finland. And he was in a hilly country in Finland. And he saw this little dead boy. And God told him, that boy's going to come back to life, see? And it did, see? That now, but he says this, he's telling about that. And then he said, sometime I'd be standing like this. I'd sit in my room, talking to my family, and move completely away. Be gone for an hour and a half, for 2 hours. I'd sit perfectly still, without a speck of breath. That's what medical science can't understand. Where it's done, not even a speck of breath. You could put as fine a thing around my nose as you want to, not a bit of breath. They tell me my respiration, heartbeat just the same, but I was fading out into another country, into another world. And when you return, you come back exactly what God has said, and it has never failed. Oh, that ought to give us so much faith in this message. Say, well, Brother Branham, he made mistakes and things. He didn't. Well, of course, when God created the world in the beginning, when God created the world, first thing God done is create the world in His thoughts, in His thinking. And then He began to create the Word. Then when the Logos went out from God, now He's not going to put His thoughts into existence. He's going to speak His thoughts. He's going to speak His thoughts. And so the power was in His Word. And God had a plan from the very first. And God's plan was this: seed time and harvest. You do not plant a seed and reap a harvest the same day. And a lot of people don't understand. Why didn't Brother Brown, if he was a prophet with Thus Saith the Lord, why didn't he all know this to begin? It wasn't God's plan. God let him grow daily just like everything else he ever done. He let that prophet mature. And Brother told me one time in Phoenix, he said, oh, Brother Branham knew this, and Brother Branham knew that. Every time you'd mention something, he'd say, Brother Branham knew that. You'd mention something else, oh, Brother Branham knew that. I said, now, wait a minute. God don't tell His prophets everything. He tells them what He wants them to know when He wants them to know. Did you know that Brother Branham thought those seven seals on the back side of the Bible was something outside of the Bible, right up to the breach? And when he was preaching the breach, God revealed to him, no, it's not outside the Bible. It's inside the Bible, but it's sealed away. Don't get upset with yourself because you didn't know all this to begin with. No, sir, we're little children. We grow in grace. We grow daily. We mature here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, two more quotes and I'll turn you loose. God likened His prophet to an eagle. That would go up in the makeup of a prophet. He is a seer that in the spirit he climbs up beyond the emotion of the church. He goes beyond the rhythm of the music, beyond the clapping of the hands. He goes beyond the joy of the saints, beyond all that. And God brings him up into a realm alone. Then he opens his eyes and lets him look around and see things that is to come. Then he brings it back down among the members of the body and foretells them. And he said that's hidden manna, a little something special. What is the special? The blessings of the Holy Ghost? He said, no. The blessings of the Holy Ghost is for the whole congregation. The blessings of the Holy Ghost is for apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, organ player, musician, song leader, housewife, farmer, president, vice president, whoever. The Holy Ghost blessings are for the entire congregation. But the prophet goes up beyond the Holy Ghost blessing, beyond the rhythm of the music, beyond the clapping of the hands, and goes up, doesn't do away with it. He goes beyond it to get what we need up there. And after Brother Brown got through telling all about that, I found it so strange. He went right into telling about, now, you will never live no higher than your pastor. You must remember that. Because he's the shepherd that leads you. If he's the shepherd, he's got to know where the manna is to feed the sheep. So I tell you what. Now, the pastor is not a prophet. No, he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. But the shepherd goes just like the prophet did. He goes beyond the rhythm of the music. He goes beyond the clapping of the hand. Goes beyond the joy of the saints. He goes into an inspirational realm and receives food for the flock and comes back down and leads the people into by the still waters of God's Spirit and into the shady green pasture of that precious Word. Yes, sir. And I tell you what, no matter how much you enjoy the blessings of the Holy Ghost, you come in here in the song service, and you just enjoy the blessings of the Holy Ghost. And after the preaching is over with, usually the Spirit of the Lord waters and just everybody just has sometime a great old time. But while that pastor is preaching, you also are going in with him beyond the rhythm of the music, beyond the clapping of the hand. You're going into a realm where he is showing you something right out of that Word of God. My, you're seeing the shadow of his coming. You're hearing his voice as it spoke among the people, getting you ready for a rapture. That's what you're entering into a realm. See, and a lot of people want to do away with the blessing of the Holy. Oh no, that's part of it. But there's another part. The best part of any service is the preaching of the Word. Always give that your main thing. See, that's right. Oh, there was something about that. Oh, yes, I did write it down. I'll close with this. Now, I have said, he says, this on question and answers in 61. I've sat right on the platform, and I hear a preacher preaching, and I get to a spot, my, I wanted to get up and help him so bad. Yeah, I didn't know what to do, and you've done the same thing. All of us do that. But he said, that's irreverent. Uh-huh, sat down, regarding my brother, see. I heard Brother Neville preaching. He's heard me preaching. Brother J.T. Parnell, all of them. Hear one another preaching. We think, oh, brother, I believe I'll get up there and help him. Little scene, we feel the Spirit pouring on us. But what do you do? Hold your peace. Let me tell you, when your pastor comes out here and he begins to stand up here at this sacred desk and he begins to preach to the Word, you give him your good hearty amen. You give him your undivided attention. You give him your prayers. But don't you try to help him preach. That's irreverent. I've been in church with Brother Siler where a preacher would be a preaching somebody out there, he'd want to finish his sentence for him. He'd want to preach with him. That's irreverent. You're not anointed to preach. The man up here, he's anointed to preach. You let him be the preacher. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Brother Terry, come up and pray and lead us in a good old song or something. I'm tired. Yes.
Let's all stand, give him up. Give the Lord a good hand. Amen. Glory. That's just something about Bob King when he preaches. I just love to hear my elders. You can just learn so much. You just can feel the inspiration. People like Brother Bob, he's been around the block two or three times. You know, he's learned a little wisdom, you know, bumps and bruises and the different things that he's picked up over the years is just really wonderful. Thank God for that gift. Thank God for our brother. Brother Bob, back there, we sure appreciate you. There you are. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, we'll just sing a little song. He's so wonderful. Oh, yes, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me my counselor, the Prince of Peace, and the mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, yes, he's wonderful. Everybody sing now. Jesus is to me my counselor, the Prince of Peace, and the mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, yes, he's wonderful. Wonderful, Jesus is to me my counselor, Prince of Peace. And shame, wonderful.
Seize the day, seize the joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine. Peace like to the river. Jesus.
Before we go, let's sing it now. He's got it all in control. Does he have it in your life? Sure he does if you're a believer. He's got it all in control. Where did he put it? Deep down in my soul. Tell him about it. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's got it all in control. I put my life in his hands. Put my life in his hands. Brother Darrell, I put my life in his hands. In his hands. Every road I walk down, I'm sure it's in it. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, sure. I put my life in his hands. Let's sing the chorus one more time before we go home now. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Thank you, Jesus. He's got it all in control. Heavenly Father, our hearts are just overjoyed with your presence. When the Word of God is preached, people are believing, coming to your presence. We're never the same when you come present. When your presence is real, we've come into your presence. A person in the presence of Christ, one time will never be the same. Lord Jesus, I just feel in my heart, if people could just get in love with the Lord Jesus, it'd all be settled. Lord, I remember I said it from the pulpit before. Years ago, 38 years ago, when I married my wife, I met her, that all my other girlfriends, they're history, they're dead to me. That's the love of my life. When I found Jesus Christ, rather, He found me, and I accepted the invitation. The world was dead. Everything else was dead. Christ was preeminent in my life. Lord, we followed the denomination around for whatever time it was, and You came seeking for that seed. It was a little eagle in the chicken coop. I'm thankful, Lord, You found that attribute. Come out of there, my people, fulfilling Revelations 18:4. I'm thankful for that. Lord, all these years now we've been in this message. The message has been in us. We've been serving You, trying to walk the good, in fact, the good fight of faith and walk this line that You have ordained for us to walk. We're thankful for it. We can only say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. As the 10 lepers was cleansed, only one returned back to say thanks. A lot of things we cannot do, but one thing we can do is say, thank You, Lord, for letting us see this truth. Thank You, Lord, for the service tonight. Thank You, Lord, that we can come to church. Thank You, Lord, we can get up in our right mind. Thank You, Lord, we live in a land of freedom. Thank You, Lord, we still have food on the table. Thank You, Lord, we still have good health that we enjoy. Thank You for all that we have been given. Thank You for the ministry, Lord, that You've placed, Lord, in this church. We appreciate every one of our brothers. I pray, God, that You'll be with our pastor now as we dismiss in a moment. Give him, Lord, a good time of rest. Bless the meeting that's coming up this weekend. Brother David, I believe, will be speaking here. Just anoint him to speak, and may we pull on that gift under anticipation for what You'll do for us this coming weekend. I thank You, Lord, for Brother Bob that's ministered and labored, and Lord, and just poured out his heart. Lord, You've blessed, Lord, and we thank You for it. Go with us, Lord, as we just dismiss now with this word of prayer. Keep us until the next appointed time. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed. Brother Harry, sing us the song as they go. God bless you. You can be dismissed.
And I just want to thank You, Lord, for letting me hear Your word. What have I done to deserve such glory that's revealed in me? So now, when I saw Your glorious light, came face to face with eternal life, and Lord, I thank You. Oh, I just want to thank You, Lord, for letting me hear Your word. What have I done to deserve such glory? Came face to face with eternity.